All right, let's pray. Yeah, we glorify you on tonight as we gather ourselves here, looking for just another opportunity to get in your word and grow and just become everything that is necessary for us to be in learning your word and understanding every facet of it as you lead us. We need you for that purpose. We need you to guide us in all truth. And we thank you in the name of Yahushua. We do pray. Amen. All righty. What we want to deal with on tonight, there are things that I will write at times, and y'all lead me to bring it into the lessons that we have here. Here in training school or in Sabbath worship I just like discussing these different things because I believe it's vitally important for the day that we're living in. And there are things that he's having me to do, whereas we've talked about it time and time again about drawing a line in the sand. Well, in order to do that, we have to step forth or forward, however we would put it, and deal with issues from what we understand. And a lot of time it can be uncomfortable. There are some times when I don't really care about getting in certain conversations and things like that, but as it would have it, y'all always lead me to do so because it makes people uncomfortable when you know and understand certain things and they may not for whatever reason, but my approach to it is, from a perspective of humility, but like what I had showed you guys, I think it was last week or something like that when I was, I think it was maybe even training school, I can't remember. We deal with so many different lessons. But when I was saying that, I was approached from a standpoint of basically saying that, the person asked me a question of that they believe that I, love myself more than I love Yah. Well, I mean, it's obvious anybody who knows me know that's far from the truth. I adore the Most High. I adore Yah, but there are times when you share the things that you share, people are going to have that mindset toward you. They're going to come to the conclusion that you may think you know it all, or you may think you're better than other people, because the word can be very intimidating to others, especially when you're well informed. And I believe that Yah, by His Spirit, is well informing us as a ministry. I have no doubt we're being well informed. We still have a lot to learn. I still have a lot to learn, but we're well informed, and we have a foundation whereby we can, that enable us to view the scriptures and to rightly divide these scriptures to the best of our ability. That can be very intimidating, but you have to understand that we have to understand that as God lead us to share information, we just have to do it. We have to do it. A lot of times I don't even want to post stuff that I do on Facebook. I don't even want to address things to certain people. I see them post certain things, but when you draw the line in the sand, when you draw the line in the sand, so to speak, when the Spirit of Yah does, we have to understand that we're the vessel by which He's going to use to make that line clearly drawn. He's going to draw the line in the sand, but you're going to be the avenue by which He draw the line. And so, you know, you have to accept that. You have to stand firm. Sometimes I post things, you know, people will share it and make a lot of comments on it. Sometimes I post things, people won't say nothing. I'm not concerned either way. I don't get impressed when people, you know, share it and post it. I don't get impressed or lose confidence when nobody share it, because I know thousands of people still read it. And sometimes, you know, it's kind of hard to you know, it's a little bit more harder to agree with something when it's come down your row and stepped on your shoes, so to speak. You know, stepped on your corn, you know, whatever. You know, it's kind of a little bit difficult to agree. And so I have learned, you know, over the years that, you know, not to be concerned, you know, based upon how an audience responds to what I preach or what I write. You know, I've just learned to do that. And so you guys don't have to do the same, and just make sure that you say it as Yah leads you. If He don't lead you, don't bother with it. But if He do, you know, you have to say it, and it makes people uncomfortable a lot of times. But I love that position that He has me in, because, you know, when we lay it out, when you lay it out, you know, it's not much room going to be left for contradiction, or I feel bold enough to say there's going to be no room left for contradiction, you know. And so I thank y'all for that. What I want to talk about tonight is religious doctrine versus true doctrine. And I want to approach it from, you know, I did a part one and part two. I may not deal with all of part one and part two. I may just pull out the parts that, as the Spirit leads, that's necessary for this particular lesson. And so we'll deal with that. Deal with that on tonight, okay? So, again, religious doctrine versus true doctrine. And I start out by saying, how can we know the difference? How can we know the difference between someone who is using the Bible but is using it from a religious point of view in comparison to true doctrine? That by which we make every effort, whether it's myself, whether it's Alan, anybody else who's teaching or will teach in the future, what is the difference between religious doctrine and what we make an effort to do and to preach true doctrine? Or what is the difference between religious doctrine and true doctrine? Okay, let's deal with that. How do we know the difference? How do you know when someone is sharing something that's from a religious point of view and it's not the truth? It's not true doctrine. How do we know? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 1, says this. It says, now the Spirit, we understand what the Spirit is, okay? The Spirit, first of all, is the breath of Yah. It is the breath of Yah that influences mental disposition. We know that the Spirit is classified as the Holy Spirit or Holy Ghost. We know that, but we want to deal with it in a facet that will cause us to understand the workings of the Holy Ghost. How does the Holy Ghost work? What is it? You know, you get Christianity that said, okay, you know, because the Bible says He, I will give you the Spirit of truth, He. You know, what is it about the Holy Ghost? Is he a distinctive Godhead, you know, that when you get Christianity, it normally calls it the Trinity. The Bible doesn't call it the Trinity, so I'm not going to get caught up into the religious doctrine that's associated with identifying what the Holy Spirit is. I'm just identifying what the Holy Spirit is based upon what the Bible identifies the Holy Spirit as being, okay? So again, 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 says, now the Spirit, breath of Yah, that influences mental disposition, the mind. That's why you see religious preachers will try to blow on you. You had an altar call, you see some religious preacher, they'll come to you and try to blow on you and hope that you fall out on the floor. I don't know if you have ever experienced it or seen it before, but when you see a preacher blow, you know, he's coming up in your face, he goes, you know, try to blow you down, you know, that's the spirit. That's the religious perspective of it. But in reality, it gives you a truth from a perspective of how the Holy Spirit works. Every time I get ready to teach or when I write, the Holy Spirit come upon me as the breath of Yah. That's the best way I can explain it to you. I feel the breath of Yah. It's like he comes upon me. The breath of Yah, it comes up on me. So the spirit is the breath of Yah that influences the mental disposition. When he come up on me, like he's up on me now. Okay, when he come up on me, my demeanor changes. I'm more bolder, I'm more expressive, I'm more determined. My voice even changes. There are things that happen to me when the spirit of Yah comes up on me to do what I've been called to do. So when you see that taking place, you have now seen the root. You are now seeing the manifestation of the Ruach, the Spirit of Yah resting upon an individual. So again, this is now the yes, ma'am.
So you saying when people blow, when preachers blow on people, that's the Spirit of God?
No, what I'm saying is that's what they religiously do. It is a religious doctrine whereby people do that to try to show a symbol of the true doctrine. And so they think because from a perspective of what they feel that the Spirit is coming up on them, then they can blow up on you to cause you to fall out. And from a person falling out, they will say they were slain in the Spirit. So that's the religious perspective of what is the literal doctrine of how the Spirit works from Yah, not from man.
So all right, I understand what you're saying. Have you seen in the news, about the things that Kirk Franklin has been saying?
I've heard some things that he has said, I've read some writings about some things he said, but I haven't seen anything from the perspective of the news.
From the perspective of religion?
No, from a perspective of the news. I haven't seen.
Oh, okay. Well, no, I didn't mean the news, but I just mean like on the internet and stuff. So, what are your thoughts on that? And is that related to what you're talking about here now?
Well, I mean, I haven't read in detail about some things that he said from those perspectives. It's just that I from what I'm hearing, it's certain things that he's saying that from what I'm hearing from other people that, you know, is showing a different spirit than what they're accustomed to. But I don't know because I haven't read anything in detail to comment on it, so I don't know.
All right.
Okay. Now, again, it says, now the spirit, breath of Yah that influences mental disposition, the mind speaketh expressly that in the latter time some shall depart from the faith. Now, depart from the faith means withdraw from truth itself. Some shall withdraw from truth itself. Now, again, you know, my coach mentioned Kirk Franklin. I don't know in detail what he has done, but from what I'm hearing, people are saying that, you know, he has departed from the faith. Well, first may say I departed from the faith because I don't teach the thing that people teach. So I don't know in detail. I would have to go look. And so
he's saying that we've been so caught up in religion and that's not what God is showing us. And this is a few things I've heard. He's like, in a way, like I haven't heard him yet like you. But some of the things I have heard is some of the things that you're teaching. And, you know, I haven't been able to listen to everything, but I heard a little bit, and some of it was a little bit of what you have been teaching. I'm like, wow, okay.
Yeah, and like I said, I don't know. I don't know what... I have no idea what he's been taught. I've looked at some things, but then I don't know. I haven't heard it come from the horse's mouth. I just know I've seen him in a group with a group of guys that, you know, that makes you kind of wonder. But again, I don't know. I have no idea what's going on with Kirk Franklin. I hadn't had a chance to hear him comment himself about between things that's been written about him, but I haven't seen him comment on the things himself. Okay. But again, it says, some shall depart from the faith. It's 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. It says that in latter times, some shall depart from the faith. In other words, withdraw from truth itself. Apostasy is what 2 Thessalonians 2 talk about, apostasy, or the falling away. Then it lets know once they depart from the faith what they will do. Giving heed to turn the mind. When you look at giving heed, it means to turn the mind to seducing spirits. Seducing spirits are spirits that's deceiving. It lets you know that it's the same thing that happened to Eve in the garden. It is the same thing that Satan does. Satan is a deceiver. And so these seducing spirits are meant to deceive. But then it says, and doctrines of devils. Doctrines, instructions, teachings of devils, okay? And so we see that going on in these in these last days. We will start to see that more and more. Hold on a minute, y'all. Brennan's trying to get in, but he have an issue. Does anybody have that information to... Wait a minute, I got it here. I just recently sent it to someone. I think I should have been able to put it up. Yeah. Okay. Now, as I continue on, it says, giving heed to turn the mind to seducing, which is deceiving spirits, and doctrines, instructions, and teachings of devils, okay? And then I just said basically, therefore knowing the difference between religious doctrine and true doctrine is vitally important, okay? Here's the difference now. Here's the difference. True doctrine has stability. True doctrine has stability, thus it can be established as trustworthiness. Okay, as trustworthiness. Let me. Y'all just got to bear with me tonight, because I see people writing and stuff like that, and I just send it to you. Okay, now, and send it to one another so I can continue to talk without having to do much stopping here. Okay, I'll send it to you. Y'all send it around to everybody else who need it. Okay. Again, the true doctrine has stability, thus it can be established as trustworthiness in accordance with facts or realities. True doctrine doesn't need to be pulled out of the air. It can be revealed, or it is established in fact and real information. And that's what I love about how the way Yah is dealing with us in these last days. We deal with things in a way that not only do we say something, not only are we able to say something, but we're able to put the scripture to show it as a reality of what we're saying. And I'm just using this as an example. If we turn around and say that, this is just an example, y'all. If we turn around and say, you know, that there's a green cow, then we're going to be able to show you in scripture that there is a green cow. That's just an example. That's how the scripture should be. It shouldn't ever be anything that is taught on that cannot be proven as fact or reality. Okay? So true doctrine has stability, thus it can be established as trustworthiness in accordance with facts or reality. Whereas religious doctrine, here's the difference now. Religious doctrine has instability. Thus it uses deception as the primary source for instruction or teaching. In other words, when I'm deceiving you, or if I'm deceiving you, I just want you to accept what I said instead of showing you the proof of what I'm saying, instead of showing you the reality of what I'm saying. And that's what most preachers do. They share information, and the information that they share, they just say, well, you know, you just all accept it here because this is what the Spirit is showing me. It's what the Spirit is showing me. So since the Spirit is showing me that, you know, since the Spirit is showing this to me, then this has to be true because I'm led by the Spirit. Okay? Now, from that portion, that's part one that I'm dealing with. Now I'll go into part two because there's some things that I said I can prove in part one, but I don't want to deal with that in this lesson, okay? Now, we'll skip down to part two of this, and I'll continue on now, okay? Or I'll just skip down to part two. Now, I'm going to say this again now. True doctrine has stability, thus it can be established as trustworthiness in accordance with facts or realities. This is religious doctrine versus true doctrine, part two. No, we've got the text now. Okay, now, what I don't want to say is this, and preachers deceive us all the time. We have to be careful because we think a lot of time because a person is classified as a preacher, then whatever comes out of their mouth is the truth or is God's word. We have a tendency to think because a person is in the Bible that what they're teaching is God's word. Now, they may be reading scriptures, but the word that's coming out of their mouth may not be God's word from how they interpret in the scriptures. Okay? So, again, I'm going to say this again. I'm going to take my time with the definition. To give us understanding of the difference. Again, how can we know the difference? True doctrine has stability. Thus, it can be established as trustworthiness in accordance with facts or realities. So I'm going to say it this way. Don't trust me if I can't show you facts. Don't trust me if I can't show you reality. If I'm dealing with something, if I'm teaching something, I need to be able to show you facts. I need to be able to show you reality. Okay? Now, and preachers deceive us all the time. Matthew 24, verse 4 says this. Our Savior warned us about things that would be happening in the last days. And one of the things that he had concerns about when he dealt with his disciples, he said, Matthew 24, verse 4, he says, take heed that no man deceive you. Matthew 24, verse 4. He said, and Jesus and Yehoshua answered and said unto him, take heed that no man deceive you. Take heed that nobody beguile you. Take heed, you know, it is a spirit by which you know Satan operated in the garden. The snake operated in the garden. Take heed that no one seduce you. Take heed that no one calls you to be out of the way, calls you to go astray, to go out of the way with information. Take heed to that. Be very alert about that. That's why every time I deal with something, I try to make sure that the scripture is associated with it because my primary goal is not to deceive you. He says, take heed that no man deceive you. Okay? And the reason why now, what I mean by preachers deceive us all the time, and the reason why is because most of them are constantly looking for new revelation. That is the issue with most preachers. Everybody is looking for different information or some new revelation that no other preacher is teaching on. That's why you hear all these different versions of grace You hear all these different versions of what salvation is. You hear all these different versions of how you're supposed to operate in life. You hear all these different versions that use that preachers are using the same scripture. All these different versions. Here's what it is. This is what it is. This is it's this. It's that. You can go to five different churches, and all of them can teach about grace, and I guarantee you every one of them have a different message. Everybody's looking for some form of revelation apart from true doctrine. And that's the reason why all this deception is out there, is because all of us preachers, and I like to include myself in there, all of us preachers are trying to outdo one another. I like to talk about me too, because it keeps me balanced. Preachers deceive us all the time, and the reason why is because most of them are constantly looking for a new revelation, thus proclaiming that the Spirit showed it to them for the purpose of teachings and instruction. This is what the Spirit showed me. You'd be shocked at how many phone calls that I received from preachers all over the state, you know, different states. Preachers call me all the time, and they got some new revelation. And when they for some reason they love bringing the information across to me. I guess they kind of measure it with me, and if I'm okay with it, then they feel better about it. I don't know what it is. I don't know. It's just I get a lot of phone calls about revelations and things that people are studying, and they want to run it across me to see what I think about it. Well, my mindset is, you know, when a person says the Spirit is leading them to do something, if you say the Spirit is leading you to do something, I'm not going to contradict you from this perspective. I'm not going to ever tell anybody what the Spirit is saying or not saying to them. When a person says the Spirit of Yah lead me to do something, I'm done it from that point on. I'm not going to say, well, I don't think he's saying that. Though whatever he's saying to you is what he's saying to you, and I'm not trying to figure out what he's saying to you. I'm just going to accept what you're saying that he's saying to you. So when these preachers approach me saying that this is what the Spirit is showing them, then I'm open-minded. Hey, I may be missing something. I may not be seeing something. I'm always open to learn. And so, when these preachers call me and give me this information, the first thing I do is say this. I say, okay, everything that you share with me, I see your point. In other words, I understand a lot of things that people say. If you give me information, I can understand it. But at the same time, I may not necessarily believe it. I may not necessarily agree with what I'm understanding. So when I get this information, the first thing I say to these individuals, okay, show me how you came to this conclusion. If this is what you said it means, then show me all the scriptures that has brought you to this conclusion. I'm open-minded to what you're saying. If you said the Spirit has led you to this understanding, I'm very open-minded, because if it's of the Spirit, then I want to grow. I'm always looking to learn. I want to grow. I want to be a better scholar. I want to be a better preacher, so I'm always looking to understand. So, you know, I'm willing to learn from anybody. Okay? So my first thing would be, okay, if this is what the Spirit is showing you, then give me all the scriptures that you have come across that has brought you this understanding. You know what most of them tell me? I don't have it. It's what the Spirit showed me. My mindset is, okay, If you're saying that the Spirit is showing you something, but yet you don't have factual information, you don't have information that is you don't have information there to prove this as a reality. I hear what you're saying, and I'm open minded to what you're saying. But what proof do you have to go with what you're saying? Because every time I deal with something, I want to show proof of what I'm saying. If I don't teach what you're saying, what can I give a person to confirm what we just discussed? Well, I can't do it. I'm still looking. I'm still studying and looking. Yeah, but what are you studying? How did you come to this conclusion in the first place if you didn't study something? So that's what I mean when I said preachers are always looking for some new revelation. They're always trying to find some angle in the scripture that nobody else sees. You want me to tell you what I try to do? I'm just trying to understand what I'm reading. I'm not trying to look at it any different. I'm not. My mindset is when I sit there and look at the scripture, I just want to understand what it means by the Spirit. Show me, y'all, what this actually means. Let me use every tool that I understand to position myself to be led into reality and fact. But most preachers are looking for new revelation without any facts or realities, and they look to get away with it by saying, "Oh, God showed it to me. The Spirit of God showed it to me." That's an open door for error. It's an open door for error. See, because here's the reality. And this is the line that Yah is calling us as a minister to draw in the same. Here's the reality now. In reality, all of us should be teaching the same from God. Every preacher, me, Alan, whoever else is in here, every preacher, whoever else is listening, every preacher on this planet should be teaching the same true doctrine. We got a problem. We got a problem if we're saying that it is the Spirit of Yah that is leading us, but yet we're coming into all these different understandings. Now, all of us know a part, but the part we know ought to be the same. Let me ask you a question. I'm going to ask two questions. I'm going to ask one. You don't have to answer it. I'm just going to ask two questions. One's for those who are here present. The other is for those who are here in via conference. Now, when you call in for the conference, do everybody come in different ways? Anytime somebody call in to be in conference, do everybody say, "I'm just calling in what number I feel I'm going to call in"? When you come here present, physically, do everybody say, "Well, I'm going to go in there with that way I want to go in. I'm going to go through the window if I want to go through. I'm going to go through the front door. I'm going to pull the roof off and go through the roof. I'm going to go on the floor. I feel like I'm going to just go in with that way I want to come in." Do all of us have our own mindset of how we are to approach this class on tonight? This training school on tonight, do all of us have our own ideas by which we're going to attend, or do everyone have a specific way by which we all attend? All of us have a specific way. Bottom line, when it comes down to the Spirit of Yah, you know, I just look at Brennan's in conference call now, but he could have been in conference call. He texted me a little bit earlier. Was like, "Hey, I need the number information." Look how he lost it on his phone. He was like, "Hey, I need the number information again." Well, guess what? He couldn't get in without the true call, the true number, the true everything that lines up with it. He couldn't have gotten in. He could have said, I don't know what it is. I'm just going to dial whichever number I want to, and Lord, I'm going to help me in. With that concept in mind, we all, every preacher on this planet that is led by the true Spirit of Yah, should be all saying the same thing. I have done it a lot, I have sit down and listened to Alan Sure Thing with people. When he finished, I said I would have said the exact same way. He'll tell you sometimes people ask me questions. I just said, "Son, tell them." And I just sit back.
because I know what he's going to say is going to be the same thing that I was saying, so I don't have to be concerned about what he's going to say, because I know that every time he looks at the scripture, he's going to write it divided by the same spirit that I have, the true spirit, that teaches true doctrine. Every preacher on the planet has got to line up with the spirit of Yah instead of trying to get the spirit of Yah to line up with their doctrine. That's why you have all these revelations out there, is because everybody has an agenda and everybody is trying to get the spirit of Yah to line up with their agenda. So their agenda is about being rich. So they try to get the spirit of Yah to give them something to line up with them being rich. And it's another spirit. It is the spirit of 1 Timothy chapter 4, the seducing spirit and the doctrines of devil, where men is calling the spirit of Yah. Well, if it's the spirit of Yah, all of us should be sounding the same. Why is the church so divided if it's the spirit of Yah? Somebody lying. If it's not the Holy Ghost. Yes, I'm saying. Somebody lying. It's not the Holy Ghost, bro. And we as those who are led by the Spirit of Yah, have got to start drawing the line in the sand. Oh, you say something don't line up with that book in front of me, watch me straighten it out. I don't care if it's the bishops all the way down to the little peon that just picked up the Bible and just learned to speak up a word and trying to get understanding. Say something that's not correct. The spirit is going to rise up in me and I'm going to have to tell the truth. No, that ain't the way that means. Oh, you think you know it all? No, I don't, but the spirit sure does. And he know how to lead this fool. You ain't saying that right. I had an individual, I don't want to call him name, had an individual post a scripture up with a picture, had the Bible open, but then had the pages folded to where it looked like a heart. And then it talked about I think it was Psalm, Proverbs, I can't remember. It started talking about the heart. And you know, and how had the Bible sitting there, and it looked just like a heart, you know, like a Valentine heart. And I sit there, and spirit rolls up. I go, oh, he just breathed on me. I ain't going to be able to shut up and leave this alone. I'm trying to shut down Facebook because I know it's coming. Too late. I got to show you what the heart is. So I put on there and let everybody see what the heart was. Now, people look at that as being, see, just know it all. I always try to correct folks. That's my job. My job is to teach truth. And when I see error, my job is to straighten it out. That's drawing a line in the sand. My goal is, if you're going to write about it, you better make sure you line up with scripture, because if you don't, I got something to say. As the spirit lead me, obviously. Okay? So again, preachers deceive us all the time. Our Savior warned us of this in Matthew 24, verse 4. They do this because they're always looking for some new revelation. But the truth is, the reality is, all of us should be teaching the same true doctrine. All of us should be. Every preacher that picked up the Bible should be sounding the same way. John 14, verse 15 through 17 says this. He says, if ye love me, keep my commandments. And I will pray the Father. This is in part two. That's what I'm reading from. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the spirit. Now, the spirit, again, is breath of Yah that influences mental disposition, the mind. Even the spirit, even the mind of truth. I'll give you a comforter. Our Savior said this, when I go away, I'm not going to leave you without comfort, but I'm gonna send you a comforter. I'm gonna send you something to influence your mind as I influence your mind, disciple. What he was saying to the disciples, I influenced your mind when I was here, but when I leave, I'm sending something back to influence your mind. To influence your mind now, he says now, even the spirit of truth, according to truth and reality, when you look at the spirit of truth, it is the breath of God that influences mental disposition, that influences the mind, what? For truth and reality. If it's of the spirit, ain't nothing coming out of the spirit but truth and reality. So everything that is not of the truth and reality has to be questioned. Because it should be laid out in a way to where it is true and reality. We're going to look at how we do that. We discussed it a little bit. We're going to look at it in more detail. John 14, verse 26 now. We're skipping down in the same chapter. It says, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost. Now we know who the Comforter is. Now the Holy Ghost is the same as the Spirit of Truth. The Holy Ghost is the breath of Yah that influences mental disposition, the mind. So the Holy Ghost is our comforter. How does he comfort? He influences the mental disposition. So in order for me to have the Holy Ghost with me, the purpose of the Holy Ghost is to influence my mind. Holy Ghost don't want to lay me out on the floor. The Holy Ghost wants to influence my mind. He comes upon me to influence my mental disposition. That's why the Savior sent in his place. Our Savior came to influence our mental disposition, and when he left, he said, I'm going to send a comforter. The comforter is going to influence your mental disposition. He's going to do what I did. But he told the disciples now. Verse 26 again, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, breath of Yah, that influences mental disposition, the mind, whom the Father will send in my name. You look at his name, it is the authority. He will send as the authority. He will send in my name. We're in harmony. I'm in harmony with the Spirit. That same Spirit came upon me before I went into the wilderness. I want that same Spirit on you. The Father is sending that same Spirit that made my mind the way that it is. I had the Spirit, the mental disposition without limitations. Now, that same Spirit that gave me unlimited knowledge can do the same with you. He's been sent to you. Verse 26 again, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, breath of Yah, that influences mental disposition, the mind, whom the Father will send in my name. What is his purpose? He shall teach you all things. That's why I tell people, I don't know everything myself, but I got someone who does. And he teaches me all things. So whatever I know is because it's what he showed me, not because I'm smart. I'm not a fool, but this Spirit takes me and takes me or us at a level that is limitless. Look what he says, he will teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance, whatsoever I have said unto you. Christ says the purpose of the Holy Ghost now is to reveal things to you that I said to you. Now we gotta figure this out now. Now I did say that the Holy Ghost can give us the understanding of all things, but we want to be specific. We want to be specific. What is it now? What was it that Yehoshua said that would enable the Holy Ghost to bring to his disciples' remembrance? What is it? He said, okay, the Holy Ghost will come upon you, and when the Holy Ghost come upon you, I'm going to send him. He's going to bring all things to your remembrance. Well, what is it? What is the purpose of the Holy Ghost? What is the true purpose? Is it true purpose for some preachers to call an altar call, lay hands on everybody, and they lay out in the floor for 5 minutes until when they feel like it's comfortable enough to get up? You know, you got to play that right. You can't get up too fast. You can't lay that too long. You get up too fast, everybody think you ain't got nothing. You lay that too long, they think you're devil. So what is it? What is it that the Holy Ghost truly, what is his purpose? What is he really sent to do when it comes to us? What is his purpose now? He says again, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance. Whatsoever I have said unto you. Well, what is it that you, Yehoshua has said? Let's say the scripture. Luke chapter 24, verse 44 through 45, says this. And he said unto them, he said unto his disciples, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses, first five books of the Bible, and in the prophets, you take all those prophet books, okay? And in the prophets and in the Psalms. So I'm saying this. Proverbs say some things. Ecclesiastes says some things. But I'm revealing to you things that he said from the perspective of the Psalms, the prophets, and the law. Because when you start looking at other books, you can classify them as far as the prophets are concerned. Apostles, however way you want to put it. But he's talking to the disciples now who turned around and wrote the rest of the scriptures now. Okay? And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, and that all things must be fulfilled which are written. So the valid key is he brings things, the purpose of the Spirit is to bring things to our remembrance, whatever is written in the scripture. How does he bring it to our remembrance? When we look at it, we should see it like it was meant to be seen. It's not necessarily, although it can be a perspective on it, there are a lot of scriptures that I understand from a perspective of it coming back to my remembrance, but that's more so from a repetition kind of thing. But at the same time, there are scriptures that the Spirit does bring up. There are things that the Spirit does bring up. But when he's talking about remembrance, when he's talking about if his memory is concerned, it deals with that to a facet of learning scriptures and understanding certain scriptures, why he said it's over here, and different things like that. That has a perspective to it. But the primary key is, when he brings it to your remembrance, is that when you look at it, it should merge your mind with the mind of the Spirit, who is the mind of Yah. We should all see it the same way. And he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and in the prophets and in the Psalms concerning me. Then opened he their understanding. So if Christ, or since Christ, opened the disciples' understanding, and the Holy Ghost came in his after him, then the Holy Ghost does the same. So when it comes to my remembrance, it is because the Holy Ghost now is doing the same thing as the Savior did to the disciples, open the understanding. Now, how can we all say that we're led by the Spirit and we're open to all these other understandings? So is that saying that our Savior Yehoshua told John one thing, and he told Peter another thing, and he told Matthew something else, or did he open the understanding and tell them all the same thing? I think just good old common sense would tell us that he opened the scriptures and gave them understanding of the same thing. I don't believe he got over to John here and said, you know what, I don't believe he got to John here and said, you know what, the olive tree is blue. And then got over there and got in Peter there and said, well, you know, the olive tree is green. He told them all the same thing. So when you look at it from that perspective, and you know that the Spirit of Yah is sent. That's what he said. He said in John 14:26, I'm going back. He said, but the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said. So if the Savior opened up the scripture and gave the disciples understanding, then guess what the purpose of the Spirit is? That's why Alan always teased me every time I get talking about, well, man, you just got to study. He'd be like, no, there's more to it than that. I'd be like, no, man, it's not. If you just got to study. No, there's more to it than that. It is more to it than that. You can study the letters off the Bible. If the Spirit don't get involved, you're not going to get nothing. That's why I refuse to read the Bible out of tradition. If the Spirit don't come upon me, I will put the Bible down. I will not even pick it up unless the Ruach is resting on me. There have been times when I sit down and just read my Bible because, you know, there are certain times when I specifically read the Bible. I'm going to go into detail on that. It's just certain times I'm specifically, when I'm in a specific environment, I read the Bible. Well, sometimes I be in that environment and I want to traditionally, religiously, pick up the Bible, and when I do and open it up, the Spirit of Yah is not resting up on me, and I know immediately, I close it up and put it down. I don't want to waste my time. Quit wasting your time if the Spirit not going to get involved with your Bible lesson or your Bible reading. You're wasting time. All that read, much reading, as our scripture said, forever learning and never coming into the knowledge of the truth, because people always sitting down reading the Bible without the Ruach. Never learn nothing. If the presence of Yah, if the Spirit of Yah is not in the place with me, if he's not breathing on me, I will not touch my Bible. It's irrelevant. Nothing but 66 books of pages that says thus and thou. So now you understand why most people can't understand it. They sit down and try to do it on their own accord. And so they're always getting or looking for revelation that is not by the Spirit of God. The purpose of the Holy Ghost is to bring to our remembrance whatsoever the Father has said through the Son, and the Son is decreeing and has walked in, and that information is released to us, and the only way we get it, we need what he left so that we can be taught those things. And the more we understand that, and the more we acknowledge that we need the presence of Yah, the Spirit of Yah, to get involved with our Bible studies, the more we do it, the more information comes. Why do you think I pray the way I do? Why do you think I say the same prayer pretty much every time we get started? Okay, Yah, thank you for your presence, and thank you for bringing us understanding, because I know we ain't getting nothing if he don't show up and rest on all of us. I just be running, bumping my jaw, and we just spent an hour doing much of that. I like how verse 45 says, 44 and 45, it says, and he said unto them, these are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled which are written in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms concerning me. Here's my favorite part. Then opened he their understanding. Yehoshua opened their understanding that they might understand the scripture. We can't understand unless our understanding is opened by the Spirit. What makes us different? What is going to make us different? That knowledge right there. To know that the only way we can understand is our understanding has to be open. Now you know why I say we were born to unfeel about. Because we understand that the source for unsealing it has to rest upon us. And when the source rests upon us, then we're able to deal with any portion of this book and bring about the true doctrine of what it means. So I ask this question as I'm getting ready to close now. Shouldn't we preachers, or shouldn't all of us, do likewise as the Son and the disciples? Shouldn't we understand the Scriptures? Should we allow and seek, should we seek and allow the Holy Ghost to open our understanding? Don't ever pick up your Bible like you're picking up an ebony book or like some novel. Don't ever pick up your Bible just to do it because, you know, we're doing it from a religious standpoint. I'm a child of God, so this is what we're supposed to be doing. Don't touch it unless your help is there. I won't pick it up unless my help is there. The comforter, my helper. I will not pick up that Bible unless my helper is there. When my helper is there, oh, I'm a bad man then. I see everything when my helper is there. Why? Because he died and he go blind eyes. I'm seeing everything I'm reading. Why? Because the helper is there. The comforter is there. The Holy Ghost is there. And he's guiding my understanding. So if I read that the woman is standing by the tree, I see her. Because my helper knows that mental pictures work better with me. The old saying, a picture is worth 1,000 words, so I see pictures when I read. I see everything I read. I see it, literally see it. Why? Because the Holy Spirit opens the understanding that way. Have you heard that? Have you ever seen somebody describe a really nice vacation, and they came back and they told how what kind of vacation it was so well that when they finished, you feel like you actually went there? That's how the Spirit works. The Spirit can tell the story so well that when He's finished with you, you feel like you actually been there. When I get in the Scripture where it's talking about us leaving Egypt. Well, by the time we go through them 40 years, I read all that, felt like I went through the whole 40 years and I was with our nation when we walked out of Egypt. Felt like I experienced the whole thing. Because that's how the Spirit opens up our understanding. All right? Shouldn't we preachers do likewise? Shouldn't all of us do likewise as the Son and the disciples? Shouldn't we understand the Scripture? Isn't that the purpose of the Holy Ghost? Yes, that's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. The purpose of the Holy Ghost not coming to serve and make everybody run around and shout and dance all over the church. That's the purpose of the Holy Ghost. He wants to bring some understanding. Everybody shouting and feeling good, and everybody leaving out of that blind, leading the blind, and don't nobody do nothing. With their understanding, there lies the problem. Most scholars' understanding isn't opened by the Holy Ghost. Most of our understanding isn't opened by the Holy Ghost. Instead, it is opened by seducing, deceiving spirits and doctrines, instructions, teachings of devils. 1 Timothy 4:1. Most preachers, I don't care how well known or unknown they are, most preachers' understanding is opened by seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Here's an example now. It's amazing of the numbers of preachers who instruct and teach things from what they perceive to be by the Spirit. Yet there is no place in the Scriptures to prove it as fact or reality. Don't have a Scripture base. How many preachers have you been to, have you seen preach, and they'll read one Scripture, shut the Bible, and then the rest of their 20, 30, 40 minute sermon is about something else? No Scripture base to back up none of this thing. Just a sermonette. Sermonette. Final scripture we read is Matthew
And I'm going to close. We're going to read Matthew 15 and look at verse 9. Then if y'all have any questions or comments, we'll go ahead and close. Here's what our famous say about it. You can go look at all of Matthew 15 and understand some details of what we're talking about here, but I want to pull out a specific scripture to point out what happens when people doesn't truly draw nigh unto the Father through the Son, okay, to be led by the Spirit. Verse 9, Matthew 15, verse 9 says, "But in vain they do worship me, teaching for doctrine the commandment of men." You will be shocked to find out the number of Christians in churches who are worshiping Yah in vain. Yah is like, it don't mean nothing to me. He says vain, has no purpose. See, you got all these people that's crowded up in this church building. Thousands and thousands of people, and Yah is saying it means nothing to me. In vain they do worship. In vain they do worship. And they're doing it in vain. In vain they show their religion. In vain they're showing their devotion to me. Yah is like, it means nothing to me. Why? Teaching for doctrine the commandments of men. They're telling you that this is what Yah is saying by the Spirit, and Yah is saying that ain't got nothing to do with me. In vain they're devotion. You're devoting time, you're devoting your money, you're devoting, making all of these devotions, and in vain you've been worshiping. We all have done it at one time or another happened. When we look back on it, we said, man, all that time I spent, all that money I spent, all that this I spent, I did all that stuff just vain. I was thinking all those things showed my commitment to Yah, and all Yah wanted out of me was for me to understand His word and truth. And I thought my money was the reason why I was blessed. That was the preacher told me. Preacher told me if I didn't tithe, I was going to hell. I wasn't right if I didn't tithe. In vain, they do worship me, teaching for doctrines. Doctrines, teaching for instruction, for learning. How many people do you sit down and listen to, and they give you these instructions, these learning that they receive? They'll pull out 10 points to how to be happy in life. 25 points on how to get your breakthrough. Y'all know, I got so many notes I've taken on 25 points and 10 points on how to do this, and 10 points on being debt-free, and I got all them points. It was all vain. Because it was doctrines of men and not the Spirit of Yah that reveals the truth and reality. I'm so glad I've been delivered. The line has been drawn in the sand, y'all. We gotta stand up for the truth. Okay? I'm finished. Anybody got any questions or comments? I'm done. We good? Okay, and one more thing. If anybody got some more detailed information about Kirk Franklin, I'm kind of curious. Since Mama Coach brought it up, I want to take a look at it and see what's going on with him. Like I said, I heard some things, but I try to be careful about which point of view I take without kind of getting it from the horse's mouth, so to speak. And so I'm kind of curious to see his point of view on some things. So I am interested in that. All right, that's it. I'm through. Father, y'all, we bless your name on tonight. We just thank you that you're constantly unveiling doctors of truth to us. We need the Spirit of Yah. We need the Holy Ghost to rest upon us on a daily basis. We can't unseal the truth. We can't know the truth that will make us free without the presence of the Spirit of Yah. And we thank you for that. In the name of Yehoshua, Mashiach, our Savior, and the blessed Most High Father, the Almighty Yah, we do pray. Amen.